invited us to come. And that we don't have to earn our way into your presence. You purchased that full price. That we wouldn't bear that shame, that we could be healed, that we could walk in as children to their Father. So we come today with our brokenness, with our fearfulness, with our willfulness, with our loudmouthedness, whatever it is that's stumbling us or stumbling those around us or hindering the fullness of your Spirit. We come right now. See, Jesus, teach us how to follow you. Fulfill your will and your word in us. So teach through me today that I might encourage your people and that we might grow to persevere in our prayer life, that we might walk with you in intimacy and in power, in fellowship and in great clarity of leadership, that you would move here, that we would never be the same. For your honor, for your glory, for our peace and our joy. Amen. You may be seated. It was, I believe, the most significant prayer meeting of all time. It was only 24 hours before Jesus Christ was going to be crucified. He was about to be arrested, tried, beaten, executed, and buried, all in the will of God. He's had his last meal with his disciples, and now he's going to have his very last moment. Isn't it interesting that the last moments together as a man, Jesus spent praying? Man, there is something there for us, friends. There is something there for us. And so he took his disciples to the prayer garden. It was such a familiar place for them to go that Judas, even though he had left the group that night, knew exactly where they was going. It was his custom, he said. And so they went there, and he asked his disciples to pray. We saw that last week when we were looking at this idea of releasing control. And so because this is a two-part message, and I gave one part last week, I'm not going to preach the message again, but I just want to remind you of these truths that set us up for the truths of today. So he takes his disciples and asks them, would you pray that you would not enter into temptation? Would you stay with me through this time? And he takes three of them into the closer place and asks them to keep watch as he goes deeper into his suffering. Do you understand that as we follow God, as we obey him, he will take you into deeper suffering. It's not, as soon as I follow God more, it always gets lighter, it always gets easier. That's not in the Word. There is a lighter day coming, but it's not here. And we're not home yet. Amen? This ain't home. This is nice, it's pretty, but this ain't home. And so, in this prayer time, I'd like to just read to you from Mark 14, 32 to 36, where we went last week. They came to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here until I prayed. And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be very distressed and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch. And he went a little beyond them and fell to the ground and began to pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass him by. And he was saying, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. And so we saw how prayer really is how God teaches believers to release control to Him. And many times people think, I pray so I can get control. No, we release control to Him. And we release control to Him when we do what Jesus did when He prayed, where He said, Father, all things are possible, yet not my will, but yours be done. And so prayer releases control to the Father when we express our desires while submitting our will. All right? And so we covered that. And so remembering that the goal when we grow in prayer is not to be in control. The goal of the believer is to be under God's control. And so prayer is not for us to gain mastery over God, to somehow get Him to do what we want, but to let God gain mastery over us that we might do what He wants. Can somebody say amen? That's this issue. We got to break this thing in American culture, which has this idea that if you get really spiritual enough, you can be God's boss and He'll do whatever you tell Him to do. That is not what the Word of God teaches. We're to come under His authority. And so the issue that we discovered as we saw it with Jesus Christ is that surrender is essential to submission, which is, as we'll see today, essential to obedience. So we have to surrender to Him. And that's where it took us last week. And so this week, we come to verse 37. And He came and found them sleeping. Friends, I hope you find encouragement in the Scripture. Encouragement in the reality of the characters of your Bible, because they are real. This is the inspired Word of God without error. And the stories here, no one would write these stories down about themselves. You don't, when you paste your stuff on Facebook, these are not the moments that you put on Facebook. You want to describe yourself and make yourself look better. No, the inspiration of the Word of God shows our faults. It shows our warts. It shows our failures that we might walk in fullness. So we learn from these guys. So this is sad but good. All right. So He found them sleeping and said to Peter, poor Peter, there's 11 guys sleeping. Peter gets called. Peter already said, won't happen to me. I'm the man. I can handle this. Right? So Peter gets called. And Jesus says to him, Simon, are you asleep? Remember, when God asks questions, He's not looking for information. He's revealing information. He already knows. So when He asks you a question, He's not really looking for you to inform Him. And prayer's not about informing Him. It's for you to be informed by Him of what He's trying to show you. And so when He says, Simon, are you asleep? What's Simon have to say? He doesn't say nothing. Okay? But he's supposed to be saying something. He's supposed to be coming to an understanding. Okay, now you tell me, does this sound comfortable in a conversation to you, if this was Jesus talking? Could you not keep watch with me for 1 hour? I don't think that was comfortable to hear from him. Are you okay with Jesus saying things to you that you don't want to hear, even if he speaks it through somebody else? Can God talk to you in ways that pain you if it's going to mature you? Are you ready for that? That's what it takes to go past the Garden of Gethsemane. Lots of people want to follow the Jesus of the miracles. Very few people want to go to the top of the mountain. But that's where the power comes from. It's the life of Christ that comes from the crucified life, the resurrected life. So he says to Peter, after saying, could you not keep watch for me with 1 hour? What does he do? He then moves towards obedience. He calls into a different life. God doesn't slam you. He invites you to say, do it different. He says, keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away and prayed the same words. And he came and found them sleeping, and their eyes were heavy, and they did not know how to answer. And they came to them the third time and said, are you still sleeping and resting? Remember? He doesn't need information. He already knows their condition. He's trying to show them something. When God comes to you the third time about something, friends, are you okay with that? Are you willing to say, it's enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. When it comes to prayer, the question is, how long is enough? How long is enough for you to enter into the plan that God has for you? What does it take to move from where you are to where you could be if you prayed it through? So I want to talk about that because I believe this passage teaches us the concept. And when we look at a clock, the interesting thing about a clock like this is it just goes around. I like the old ones because you recognize that something's going by that ain't coming back. You know what I mean? It just seems like when we watch our clocks, it just goes around, and that's what you feel like. Time's just going around. No, time's going by you. And you've got a certain amount of time to walk in the Spirit, and there will come a time when it's enough, it's done. You've only got this short portion of life to accomplish God's will. How much is enough time when it comes to pray? Because I don't know about you, but I've never finished a day and said, whew, I just think I prayed too much today. Have you ever had a day like that? Yeah, we get done with the day and go, oh man, I rushed it, I pushed it, whatever. And if you will take the time, we talked about this last week, and you know, I find it very good. That's the nice word to say. I find it very good that I have to learn to do what I say. Because I'm still learning. Are you guys there? I'm still learning to pray this through. So this week, after preaching on it last week, he says, oh, yeah, that's a good sermon, son. Now let's get down and get this going. And he takes you deeper if you're willing to go there. And your spirit is willing. But your flesh, it's a little weak. All right? So how do we get there? How do we deal with this? Well, let's take a look at just a couple things. Jesus comes. And he says, could you not keep watch for 1 hour? You know, he could have said a whole lot of things. Couldn't you pray long enough? Couldn't you have stayed with me through this time? He could have left it very vague. It's interesting that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, according to the translations we have in front of us, expected an hour. What it's really saying, now this is James's translation, okay? All right, which you know is not without error. Okay, but James' translation is saying they fell asleep in less than an hour. That's what I'm hearing. And some of you can't even do that at night. But that's the issue. Is Jesus says, "Hey, come pray with me." He comes back. It's been less than an hour, and they're out cold. Do you guys read that? Can you see that in there? So here he's saying, "I expect more than that from you." Have you ever thought about this? What is he expecting from you? There were times in your life when you had less time available for many of you here. You now have more time available. And when you had less time available, you said, oh man, when I get to that stage of life, you know, when my chillens aren't so young, then it'll be easier to be devoted to God. Or when I don't have that responsibility, when they're not teenagers, or when I'm retired. Do you remember this? You've put this off all this time in your life. You've come to this point in your life. Are you willing to say, I have all the time in the world that God gave me, and it's my job to manage it the way he's called me to? And prayer is one of the things he calls us to. And none of this is in my notes, so you guys just get to listen in. But if I were to assign you and say, James, you guys, I want you to go watch your TV for an hour, there is no problem with that. If I were to say, would you go listen to the favorite music you have and just spend an hour listening to that? Would you go sit down by the river for an hour and just enjoy the river? Or watch your favorite sporting event for more than an hour? I got no whiners, do I? None of us can say, oh, but when we say, would you spend 60 minutes with God with no interruption. Jesus says, keep watching. Couldn't you keep watch for an hour? Keep watching. There is a continual call to us to pray. And continual watchfulness in prayer is essential for the victory. Jesus comes back, they're asleep, and he sees problems coming. He's already warned them, isn't that right? He says, Peter, you're going to do this. He told the rest of the disciples, you're going to fall away. So what's he told them? Come with me, watch, pray, get ready. The only time to get ready for life is before you live it. When you get to the end of your day, it's too late to prepare for your day. Have you ever noticed that? So if you want to have a certain kind of day, you better start your day with the one who's in charge of your day. Can I have somebody tell me amen? People tell me, hey, you know, I am not a morning person. I don't care. You need him in the morning. All right? Now, I'm not saying everybody's going to be at their crystal clearest best, and some of you may have better times in the evening, but you better spend some time with him in the morning, or you're not going to be with him through the day the way you need to be. That's my experience. And when I look at the book, I know I've had people argue with me, but again and again, the men and women of God, they were up early. They were up early. Jesus was up before dawn. Okay, he was not having short days. He was having those full days. He was up before dawn. So, did Jesus need to pray? Have you ever asked that question? Why did Jesus need to pray? He was the Son of God in a human body. And if you're in a human body, you need to pray. So if you're here this morning and you ain't got one of those, then hey, you can skip this sermon. But if you are in a human body, I'm here to tell you, Jesus says, keep watching, keep praying. That's the terminology there with watching and praying, is that this is a continual, active pursuit of your life. So, do we need to pray? Yes, we do. He commanded it. And so if I don't do what he said to do, I'm disobedient. You see, you understand what disobedient means when it comes to lying, don't you? You understand what disobedient means when it comes to stealing? You understand what disobedience means when it comes to speeding? Do you understand what disobedience means when it comes to praying? You see, sometimes with the positive commands of Scripture, we think omission is okay. Not so. If he said, keep watching and praying, he's saying this is to be our lifestyle, friends. This is what I want to see as a congregation. This is what I want to see as every small group. Not that we would tack it on somewhere in our life, but that there becomes this pursuit of God and his purpose in our life. And we say, that is what I want more than anything, even through the pain. So the Bible says, watch over your heart. Remember that in Proverbs? With what? All diligence. Not a casual, all diligence. That's the same thing. All the way back there in the Old Testament, he says, hey, get on this. And so Jesus is saying the same thing. Watch it. Why? Because I've got a heart that wanders like that. When you got ADD as good as I do, oh my stars. Some of you need to understand that the worse you got with that issue, the more you need to pray. That's what I'm experiencing right now. The deeper the pain, the more you need to pray. Don't. Okay. Watchfulness works wonders with waywardness. That's what I found. Because the guy standing in front of you here, I'm here to tell you, is a wayward man in and of his own accord. And the only way I walk is I watch. What's watch? Watching is about being on guard. It's recognizing that there are things trying to distract you. There are things trying to take you down. And if you know that, then you post a guard against that. If you were to talk to any one of our missionary families that shared here this morning, they will talk to you about what it means to post a guard. They will talk to you about a different level of security than what you're used to experiencing in the U.S., they understand that. Friends, Sin wants to ruin us. You better hate it. And if you don't hate it, it'll destroy you. Are you with me? See, because we can look at stuff, it's just like food. And there's some food that you love, and you know what? It is not good for you. It's not just because it tastes good. I know that diet. You know, if it tastes good, spit it out. That's not what I'm talking about. But there's food that you shouldn't be eating it based on your health situation. You know these things, and you keep telling yourself what? You tell yourself how good it is. And if you tell yourself how good it is, it does not take very much to talk you into more of it, does it? How much ice cream do I need in the evening? I've never had more than a half gallon. Never had. But do you understand what I'm saying? What you say about your reality influences your behavior. And so we have to hate sin. We have to want to be away from that. And prayerfulness does that. It shifts our dependence from our flesh to our spirit. Okay, you only accomplish that. It's not willpower. We saw these guys' willpower. It didn't last 60 minutes. It's a spiritual encounter that he wants us to have. Interesting. Peter, when he writes his letter by the Holy Spirit, but you know, there's that cool thing. You got his personality and the Holy Spirit blending together for inspiration. It's a beautiful thing in the Word of God. Study it out. You'll see every author's stuff shows up in his books. And Peter says what in his letter? Be on the alert. Be a sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Where do you think he got that lesson? Do you think he ever forgot that lesson? I don't think so. And what's the next thing he says? Because your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He's had that night. He already knows that one. He's writing to us saying, you need to be on the alert because this is what happens. Look at the picture. I'm in there. Friends, this is really profound, so I want you to get it. And it's taken me quite a while to learn it. But you only pray when you think you need it. Not the truth? You only pray when you think you need it. And if you think you don't need it, you need it more than you ever, ever did. Our need for prayer never ends. So our praying should never cease. That's why he says, pray without ceasing. All right. That's a command. That's an expression of the heart life towards God. It says, I want you. Be watching, be praying. When we pray, if you were taught well by your mama, you learned to pray. You closed your hands, right? You bowed your head, you closed your eyes. And mamas taught their kids to do that so they quit whacking each other while she was praying. That's the way it was in my family. Because she'd pray longer than we wanted to stay focused. I had somebody teach me about persevering in prayer before I ever knew it. Thank you, Jesus, for a godly mother. But prayer is really about opening your spiritual eyes to a spiritual realm. And so you close your physical eyes to the world that you're living in so that you might see the real world that you're living in. Does that make any sense? And so there's something going on in some of these postures that we learn, but people learn the posture without learning the principle behind the posture. I want to close my eyes to this world so that I might live in the next, that I might get the picture of the next, and I might move forward into the victory that he has for me. As all I'm seeing is loss and defeat and struggle, but when I close my eyes, I see another kingdom. Is watch, keep watching, keep praying. Why? That you may not enter into temptation. So he's commanded the warning so you won't fall. Prayer, my friends, is about your walk with the Savior. And when we're praying for our missionaries, God calls you to pray for them so you'll grow up. You think it's about them. You're missing half of the point. It's because when I learn to care about what they're doing and where they are, I've begun to grow. You see? It's not just, so I can get something done in Africa, so I can get something done in Papua New Guinea or in India or in L.A. or wherever we're praying for somebody. It's so that I will grow. And also, when you're focused on doing what he's called you to do, you have a better tendency of staying out of what you ain't supposed to be doing. It says, be on the alert. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter temptation. You need to be alert if you're driving. It's one of the reasons my wife is doing most of the driving in our life right now. James's alertness is not there because of my issues. And I'm learning to be weak, but I'm learning to pray. But friends, this is it. You will never reach your spiritual potential if we don't pray. If we don't persevere at this, because you know you have to be obedient. And prayer is a principle from cover to cover. And so I just plead with you to become people who pray and to persevere. Because he says here in verse 38, you want to keep watching and praying. Why? That you may not come into temptation. Why? Because the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. True? The Spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Friends, we have a war on our hands, and the flesh won't work. Flesh is less than a hand tool. And we need the Spirit. It's a power tool. The flesh grows faint. Peter said, I will never fall away. I will never deny you. I will... Did Peter lack resolve? Was Peter a wimp? He was a man. But it comes to the Spirit. You don't win by willpower. You win by kneeling. You walk forward on your knees. The flesh is a deck of cards. It may look real impressive. You know, a house of cards? It may look real impressive, real elaborate. It blows down in a heartbeat. So, why is it that we have such a hard time praying? I mean, I've been teaching on this for a long time, and I'm still trying to learn it. Because prayer doesn't appear to do anything. All right? It doesn't appear to do anything. And if you're looking, what are you looking at? You're looking at the wrong realm. See, prayer requires us to move into the spiritual realm. You have to look at what you cannot see and ask the one you cannot see to do what you cannot conceive that he could actually do. And that is when you move in. And so the weakness of our flesh is only overcome by the Spirit's power through persevering prayer. It's the only way it's overcome. It's the only way we win this victory. There's situations that some of you are facing. There is nothing more you can do. You've been in that spot that the doctor says that there's nothing else we can do. I've seen that. I remember my brother on his 55th birthday inviting me to go to the doctor with him for the first time in his life. He never invited me to go to the doctor. I never invited him to go to the doctor, but we knew it wasn't going to be a good day. When they told him, there's nothing else we can do for you. He knew who he was walking with. He kept walking with him for the next 30 days. The very next morning, he gave testimony to the men of these church. He says, hey, I didn't like the news I got yesterday, but I know where I'm going and I know who I'm going with. Friends, when there's nothing else you can do, when you got that news that you didn't want to get, I'm here to tell you, prayer is what moves you into that next realm. That's where we're moving to. Let's start living there now. I have watched husbands pray their marriages back together. I've watched mothers pray their children back onto the path. I've watched co-workers pray their bosses towards the Savior. I'm here to tell you there is nothing that prayer cannot do, because it depends on the God who can do anything and everything. So we overcome by the Spirit's power through prayer. It's because the Spirit is willing. There's a readiness, an inclination towards God in your spirit, but you lack something in that realm. Trenton, can you help me out here this morning? I didn't warn him. I'm just going to have him come help me. Can you help me out? I got a fan here. I need you to... You, is a fan? Does it look like a good fan? Okay, why don't you turn that on for me? That seems to be the problem.
It's not working.
It's not working. Well, why do you think that fan's not working?
It's not plugged in.
It's not plugged in. He's a sharp boy right here. Why don't you take care of that? Why don't you plug that in for me? All right? Did you do that? Got a little extension cord right here. The issue in your life, if many of you are looking at it, you're saying, I don't seem to have what it takes. The question is, are you plugged in? Right on there. There you go. You got it. Now what's the problem? It's still not working. It wasn't turned on, was it? No. Friends, you got to be plugged in and turned on if you want to see the power of God flowing through your life. Amen. Thank you, Trent. You have divine potential. The Spirit is willing to blow through your life. And some of you aren't turning the switch. It's just a matter of praying. If you've never plugged in, if you've never put your faith in Christ, if you've never said, God, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, you need to plug in. Okay, you need a Savior to save you, to set you into His life, to put His power into you. And then we connect with Him, but we can be turned on to God through saying yes in prayer. It's a process, friends. I want to tell you, stay plugged in, because the flesh will do you no good. Stay plugged in. Romans 8 says, the flesh cannot please God, because it's hostile to God. It doesn't subject itself to the will of God. It's not even able to do so. Check it out. Romans chapter 8, the most powerful chapter for the Spirit-filled life in the Bible. Right there, Romans 8. But trying to please God by your own power leads to an epic fail. And that's what a lot of people tell me. Hey, James, I've been trying. Oh, I just hate hearing that. I do. I'm just trying. Why? Because that means you're trying. What I tell you, trying leads to failing. It's trusting that brings victory. I'm not going to try. I'm going to trust. You get up tomorrow morning and somebody say, hey, boss, I'm going to try and make it. Yeah, he'll say, maybe I'll try and come up with a paycheck. Am I right? You don't try and show up. You show up. You do what you have to do to show up. Friends, if you're going to walk in the Spirit, you have to show up. You have to say, this is what He's called me to do. I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to pray the way I ought to pray. I don't pray the way they pray, but I'm going to pray. See, don't be comparing yourself to anybody else. That you may not be where they are. That's okay. You be who you are. And you pray it out. Because persevering prayer is a priority, because your weakness is a reality. Is that the truth? Friends, Jesus, it says, went away again and prayed the same words. He did it two more times. Why would he pray repeatedly? You ever think about that? Because the Bible says you're not supposed to use meaningless repetition. Isn't that right? Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. Is that right? I think we got that. Why don't you read this with me? And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose they will be heard for their many words. Now, some people take this and say, okay, I can't pray about it again. I prayed about it once. I'm not supposed to pray about it anymore. What does it say? He says, don't use meaningless repetition. Oh, Lord, please, Lord, please, Lord, please, Lord, please, Lord, please. This rote thing, and if you look at the pagan cultures of the world, they try to multiply the number of prayers they can throw towards their deity to somehow think by volume you get attention. And God says, that ain't the way it works with me. He's not saying you can't repeat yourself. He says, use meaningless repetition. Jesus wasn't being meaningless, friends. See, praying through our problems produces God's perspective in our hearts. See, when you pray through, does somebody know what I'm talking about? Praying through. Somebody know what I got, man. There are times when you're praying about something, you haven't got peace yet, you don't stop praying. You pray through till you got peace. You pray through that situation till I get God's perspective and I can get up off my knees and say, I'm okay. There are many times in the middle of the night, that this is not a good testimony, suddenly. Maybe we'll get to a good one when I get done. But when I'll be up bothered by something, and my wife's been with me long enough to know if she happens to be disturbed by my getting up, she's going to come out. She doesn't say what's bothering you. It's who's bothering you. You know, it's a people problem. It's a situation. And I have to pray through. Laying in bed just don't work it for me. Sometimes I can let it go quick in bed, but there's an awful lot of time. If it's there, I got to get up, get on my knees, and pray through. And a lot of times I got to do what I've told you guys to do, is I got to open up Scripture and I pray it back to God. And all of a sudden, I go, okay, I got it, I got it, I got it. I'm gonna rest in that. Pray through. That's what I'm learning to do. And so you pray His Word, you pray His promises. This whole thing about watching, pray His warnings back. God, You warned me about this. Get that perspective. See, don't just pray the prayer promises. See, that's what we all, hey, this is what God will do for me. No, pray the commands. You said I'm supposed to love my wife like Christ loves the church. That's big. If you men aren't praying that, if you're married and you're not praying, you ain't praying God's will. You're praying she changed. That ain't in the book. You know when she changes? When she sees a man of God walking after God. That's when she's going to change. I love it when sisters support the Word. That's good. Friends, as you pray the Word of God, it renews your mind to God. To God's perspective. That's what I'm saying. All right? And so we pray repetitively. But praying repetitively can be very helpful. Okay? Because we get stuck sometimes. And what I find is helpful for this. It's when it clarifies your understanding of God's perspective. What is Father's perspective about this situation? I've got to get it through because my perspective is this is a disaster. And God's working for good. God's going to bless. God's going to... So I have to pray through till I get God's perspective. Okay? And then the other thing is sometimes I have to keep praying until my will has matched up with His will. And so I'm strengthened to do the Father's will. Because there's times you've read your Bible, you've had your morning quiet time, you heard exactly what it said, and you go, now you would never admit this in church, okay? But you go, that ain't going to happen. You've read it. You know what it said you're supposed to do, and you aren't there. You're not moving forward. Can we be honest? That's happened, hasn't it? That's never happened in my life. That's not going to... You pray through so that you are strengthened. You say, I want that to happen. I don't know how that can happen. I don't know what you're going to do to make that happen. But I want that happening in my life. I'm starting to lose it up here.
Jesus comes back and He finds them sleeping.
As the way I look at it, friends, it seems to me that sleep is one of the biggest hindrances to prayer. And you know what's weird? It's a good thing. Sometimes the biggest hindrances are good things. They're not bad things. They're good things. I'm here to tell you right now, this body needs more sleep. It does. It always does. But what I need most is more prayer. And when you're sleeping, oftentimes this is kind of this, I'm afraid this is what I sound like to many of you. Oh, that's right. I should be waking up. Oh, that's right. I should. I don't think you got it. Wake up! That's what Jesus comes back to the disciples for the third time. I'm just wondering. I can be all wet. Jesus might correct me when I get to heaven. But I think in his tone has changed the third time in. I don't know about you. I'm just thinking. Wake up. And it's sad to know, but he's still saying that to his church. Revelation. Stories about what's coming. Pictures of the church today. Read it with me. Here's what it says, Revelation. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain which were about to die. For I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. And so remember what you have received and heard and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come to you and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. I can't teach that whole thing, but you can study it out on your own. There's a warning to us, friends. I want you to wake up, or some of what I've already given you, you're going to lose. Friends, we don't stay static in the spiritual walk. You're either growing or you're sliding. There's no in between. You're moving forward or you're backsliding. That's where it's at. I just haven't found a status spot. We like to think, oh, I got this good spot, I'll park. As soon as you park, you're dead. Because he said what? Follow me. He didn't say sit. He said follow. There's a step to be taken. I want us to walk in victory. I want us to grow strong. And it takes a persevering prayer to be depending upon the Spirit over my flesh. And that's what I'm inviting us to do. I did a persevering prayer. It's this process where I began to get the Father's heart. I submit my will to the Father's will. In persevering prayer, I begin to have my heart shaped to love what the Father loves. My heart goes after His heart. And Jesus said, watch and pray. So I see persevering prayer is essential. Jesus wouldn't have done it if it wasn't essential. He wouldn't have commanded it if it wasn't essential. And so persevering prayer is essential. It's essential for you to be a person of submission. It's essential for you to be a person who enters into obedience. It's essential for you to be a person who walks in victory. When we learn to intercede, to go beyond the, God, do this for me, or do this for them, but I persevere in that, there's a different victory that's there for you. At the very end, Jesus says, are you still sleeping and resting? That's enough. Was it enough? Do you think they were fully rested? Do you think they were rested well enough to take what was going to come on them in the next 24 hours? I'm here to tell you, you will never get enough physical rest to do that. That's why you need to learn to how to spiritually rest through prayer. That's where real rest, that's where real refreshment, that's where real strengthening comes from. But there will come a time in your day, in your life, when it's enough. You got to get up and go on. You can't stay on your knees all day. When you pray, and then you go up and you do. So there's a time, you understand, I need to set aside a time so that when the pressure of the day, the activities of the day come, I am ready to go do what he's called me to do. That's a whole other message, but we're not preaching it today. So, if you haven't got what I'm saying this morning, it's this. A couple practical ways you could work this thing out. One is, invest one full hour in prayer this week by itself. You find a way to carve it into your day. Say, I'm going to spend 60 minutes with Jesus. And we're going to talk about this. Talk about this sermon. Talk about your quiet time. Talk about, step into something more than where you are. And I want to invite you to the potential. You might want to do more. When he pulled me into that this week, and I said, okay, I got to practice this before I preach this, because I haven't been spending an hour. My time hasn't been an hour at a time, oftentimes. And so I got up and was spending my hour. It was not enough. Not even close. So you just set it aside and see where he takes you, because it was refreshing for me. Tiring, but it was good. The other thing I want to encourage you is you can use acronyms. Some of you get stuck on your list thing. Acronyms like ACTS, all right? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Do more than just, hey, God, do this for me, okay? In fact, it's interesting. It says Jesus came back and they did not know how to answer him. You know how they needed to answer him? Confession. Jesus, we totally blew it. We're screwing up. We're not going the way. Confession. When you get confronted with your sleepiness, confess. That's a great thing to do. Don't stand there and promise, oh, I'll never let it happen again. I always hate that. People tell me, oh, that'll never happen again. Don't make that kind of promise to me. Because you're promising in your flesh. Say, I never want that to happen. I never want to go that way again. But by the Spirit of God, I will choose this way. But when you say, I will never, you just set yourself up for your next fall. That's called pride. All right. The other thing, pray through to God's perspective. All right? This idea that I want you to stay at on some of these subjects that have been bugging you for a long time, take some more time. Work that subject through. All right? Pray it through. And another, you heard it from me again and again and again and again. Pick a prayer partner. Get somebody that's praying with you. Not just somebody that prays for you, prays with you. There's something happens when you pray with people. That's why Jesus did that as an example for us. How long is long enough? When you pray enough to want what the Father wants, then you prayed enough for that moment. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you've done here this morning. This wasn't the way we structured it. This is the way you orchestrated it. You are a marvelous conductor. And we love the sound of your Spirit being displayed through the stories of our life. We want to make music with you. We want to follow after you. And so I'm just praying, would you wake us up to prayer? I don't know what that means. I don't know what it's going to take. I just know I need it. We need it. Would you expand Jerome Prairie and those who are committed to being on a prayer team? Would you expand our small groups and their ability to say, we will pray for each other regularly, faithfully? Would you expand husbands and wives who are willing to humble themselves, that they would pray together, that parents would pray with their children, that grandparents would pray with their grandchildren, that singles would pray with singles, that we would leave nothing unturned, that we would be devoted to you in prayer, so that the glory will go to you, that your power and life and joy would flow through us, that we'd be healed. In Jesus' name, we ask for his glory. Amen.